There's a famous story that's quoted in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva was once traveling and he was going a distance. He took with him a donkey, a rooster, and a candle. So he's taking the donkey to ride on, and the rooster is his alarm clock, and the oil lamp is what he's going to learn by. At night he could learn Torah. So Rabbi Akiva is traveling, and when it came nightfall, he came upon a city and he wanted to sleep at an inn there. He couldn't find an inn, so he asked the people of the city if he could sleep by them, and the people refused. Everywhere he knocked, he was refused. And Rabbi Akiva saw that this was the way of the town, something like the people of Stone. They're not as bad as people of Stone. They weren't coming to harm him, but they definitely weren't doing a chnasas orchin. They weren't interested in taking a stranger in. And basically Rabbi Akiva was left to stay out in the cold that night. So Rabbi Akiva said, whatever Hashem does is for good. And Rabbi Akiva said, if these are the traits of these people, these aren't good people, I'm not sticking around in this city. If no one wants to take the guest in, I don't want to even sleep in the inside the city. He went out to the field and went to sleep there. So he's lying under a tree and he lights his oil lamp and he wants to learn Torah. And suddenly he hears a noise and he looks and his donkey has been consumed by a lion. Short while later, a cat comes and destroys his rooster. Before that's done, a wind comes and blows out his candle. Now, Rabbi Akiva at this point could have sat and thought, Rabbi Shalom, what you doing to me? I come to this city, no one takes me in. It's not bad enough that I'm in a situation where I have no roof over my head, I have no place to sleep. My donkey's gone. From now on, I'm going to have to walk the rest of the distance. It's not bad enough that the donkey's gone. The alarm clock's gone. How am I going to wake up in the morning? The rooster is dead. And as if that's not enough, I can't even learn your Torah. You want me to learn Torah. The candle, the oil lamp's being blown out. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Whatever Hashem does must be for good. Now, can't learn now. He can't do anything. So he goes to sleep. And that night, group of pirates came to the city and they took everyone in the city captive and they took them all to sell as slaves. And because it was dark, because Rabbi Akiva didn't have his oil lamp, they didn't see him. He wasn't there learning. Because the donkey wasn't there to make noise, to neigh as the troops walked by, they didn't hear him. Because the rooster wasn't there to make noise, they didn't find him. Only when Rabbi Akiva awoke and saw what had happened, how the whole city was destroyed, how everyone was taken as to slavery, only then did he realize how much good Hashem did to him in killing the donkey, in killing the rooster, and ensuring he doesn't have light. So that's the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, who was saved. And even before he was saved, when things seemed as dark as they can be, he recognized whatever Hashem does is for good. And we have to think about the depth of the story. There's a question that people often ask, and I don't have an answer to this question. I think this is the eternal question. When we began our classes in Hashkafa, we once started a series in Hashkafa. I don't think it went beyond two classes. But in those two classes, we had classes of intro to Emunah, intro to Hashkafa. And one of the things we discussed in those classes was that there is a point at which we have to say, I don't know, and only God knows. Whatever answer you're going to give begins at that point. Let me give an example. We focused it around a three-year-old child. You try talking to your child and he tells you, why are you wearing shoes? So you say, so I don't hurt my feet and I walk on the street. And you say, and he says, why? And you say, because I don't want to hurt my feet when I walk on the street. There are sharp things on the road. And he says, why? So you say, because some of the stones are sharp. Some have jagged edges. And he says, why? So at some point you reach the point, because that's how Hashem created the world. So he says, why? And at that point you're stuck. You're always going to reach that point. Any question you take, if you go far enough with the why, you'll end up with, that's how Hashem created the world. And then when you ask why, even if you think there's a logical reason for the first step of why, when the child asks you why again, you're going to realize, wait a second, I don't have an answer beyond this. There's always a point at which you're sticking Hashem into our perspective in order to answer why. But when the child asks you why on that, you reach a point where you say, well, I don't know why Hashem wanted to make it this way. Why did Hashem want to make stones with jagged edges? I don't know why. And then he'll ask you, why? Why don't you know why? And you'll say, I don't know about that either. I don't know why. I don't know why. But the real answer is because I'm not Hashem. Any question you're going to take, if you ask why long enough, you'll end up with, because I'm not Hashem. I don't know why. Hashem created the world. What? Why am I not Hashem, right? And the truth is, it's the same thing in Hashkafa. That we always have to work within a framework. Any answer that we give works within the framework. This is the, and basically what you have to say is, this is the perspective Hashem wanted us to have on things. It doesn't answer the ultimate question of why. When we say Hashem created the world to do good for us, so we mean Hashem wants us to have perspective that that's why He created the world. We don't really know why. Any answer we're going to give constricts Hashem. Hashem couldn't do good to us without creating the world. He could have. Hashem wasn't lacking, so why did He create the world? So we don't know. But our perspective on it is that Hashem created the world because He wanted to do good to us. The same thing here. Whenever a person's in a difficult situation, so the perspective he's supposed to have is, Hashem did it, it's for good. But if you'll think a little bit, you'll say, but wait a second, Hashem put me in this situation. Hashem could have made it that Rabbi Akiva does not land in a town where people are so mean. And Hashem could have put it that Rabbi Akiva would not be in a place where the bandits would go by and his donkey wouldn't die and his cat wouldn't die and he would have been able to learn all night long in a nice inn, right? That could have happened too. We always look at the world and we have the ability to say, well, things could have been better. Hashem put me in this situation. But Chazal told us that the important thing is to have perspective. Why things had to be there, so that goes back to the why, which we don't know. But within the framework that we live, then we have a choice. Am I going to complain, why is all this happening to me? Or am I going to say, there can be many reasons why this is happening to me, but I have to show appreciation for the good. And I have to recognize that if Hashem's doing it, then it is for the good. Rabbi Kiva's teaching us that even when everything seems to be going bad, we have to recognize, no, there's a godly hand here, and it is for the good. You guys with me? Yeah? Okay.